The first 4 weeks of the Lenten season, our particular meditation and the points of reflection, especially came up with the liturgy of the church, was to meditate and reflect upon the fasting of Jesus and the benefits spiritually that come to us from the path from fasting, following the observances of the church gives to us, of fasting for the 40 days, abstaining from flesh and meat as a part of that fasting, also extra prayers and sacrifices that we can do. If you had followed the various prayers that take place for the masses on each day of Lent up through these first 4 weeks, you would have seen particularly in the oration, that first prayer of the church, that we would be found in there, always a reference, not to say always, but at least for the most part, a reference to the benefit from fasting, the graces that come, always looking to as an example of that great fasting that Jesus did in the desert, the example he showed to us of that sacred time, and that also at that point he won graces for us to be able to make it through the sacrifices and penances that are imposed during this Lenten season by the church, and that the graces that come from that by our faithful observance of it, that we'll be able to be stronger day by day all through the Lenten season. We come now to the last 2 weeks of Lent, and the focus of concentration takes it away from us reminding us of the graces that come from our holy fasting and other prayers and sacrifices that we perform. It's like those 4 weeks have prepared us for these 2 weeks that are now upon us. And during these next 2 weeks, we concentrate solely on the sufferings of Jesus Christ, his passion and death. If we say that his passion is only that time in which we look upon while he was either condemned by Pilate and dies upon the cross and so forth, then we don't understand fully what his passion and sufferings were, all the things that led up to that time. Even through the gospel story of today, we could include this as part of his passion, his sufferings for men. Because as we read in the gospel story of today, as Jesus is trying to teach the Jews about that the fact that he is God and that the authority that he has in speaking, in preaching to people, does come from God himself, rather they want to look upon him as being a blasphemer, saying that he was older than Abraham, implying by that he is God himself. The Jews took up stones because they thought that he was a blasphemer. They wanted to put him to death, but his time was not then, and our Lord just slipped out from them, from the temple, and that did not happen. It happened on a couple of other occasions, too, as if you followed the gospel stories so far during Lent, you'd see that on a couple of other occasions this was tried. But starting today, and reflecting upon this gospel, the church starts to mourn what it is that is happening among creatures and how they're treating Almighty God in Jesus Christ, and the one who does nothing but except to love them, to aid them, to bring grace for them, to teach them about important things in their lives, and finally also to die for them. The church is saddened by these effects, that men would turn against their God in such a way. It isn't that the Jews didn't know what Jesus was saying. They knew it. They just did not want to accept it. They had hardened their hearts. They had turned from Christ for now several years. And so no matter he preached, even the miracles that he worked, miracles that proved to other people that he was what he said he was, the Son of God, for the Pharisees it just angered them even more, seeking more and more to punish him for his blasphemies, how they had taken the people away from him, or rather that he had taken the people away from them by his preaching. And so in that point, if they could, to put him to death, because there was already one amongst them, it says it is better for one man to die than that the whole nation should perish. As if the nation will perish by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Anyway, Passiontide is for us now, is to take the time to concentrate on the sufferings of Jesus Christ for us. To take it from the idea that passion consists in everything that he endured, not only from agony in the garden till his final breath on the cross, but even this fight with the Pharisees we see here, the sorrows of Mary, are also included with that. The rejection by the people, that bit by bit, more and more, they see him rejected. They, on Palm Sunday, they proclaim him king, and within a few days, they want to see him crucified. The great part of his passion, we know, is as recounted by the four evangelists, the way they tell us about how Jesus suffered and died. And then finally, the emptiness of life that takes place after he has died. These are all parts of his passion. These are all things that we reflect upon. And it comes to us that is important for us to take time to reflect upon his passion and death, that we make these considerations strong within us. If we spent the first part of Lent helping to better our spiritual lives, working toward that end, to the point of the prayers and sacrifices, being faithful to them, By now our heart is ready that as we hear the gospel stories, as we read about the passion and suffering of Jesus Christ, then compassion will fill our hearts and souls. Compassion will fill our hearts and souls to the point of remembering that Jesus died not only for the sins of all men, but even for the sins of me. That looking down upon all human creatures from all time, beginning to end, as he did in the agony of the garden, because it was important that he did see the sins of all men so he could take them to him, and only as God could he see them in that way. It is important for us to recognize that in seeing these horrible things coming before him over and over and over again for the period of time while he was in the agony in the garden, this great suffering that he went through, seeing, like I said, not only the sins of all men, but the sins of yours and the sins of mine, that what can we do now to show compassion to Jesus Christ for all that he has suffered, not only for mankind, but also for you and for me, to make this now something that is very personal, not something that is just something is insignificant or general an idea that Jesus suffered and died for the sins of mankind. That may work for some people for consideration, but it isn't something that's going to be lasting for them and making changes in lives. We need to take it beyond that scope to come and see Jesus died for me. He died for love of me. These sufferings he suffers is also because of my sins too as well. And if I can cease from sin, if that's the grace that I can gain in this life right now, that in the part of my service in Lent has been good and strong, but right now in Passiontide, that I reflect more upon his suffering and death and see what it is that I have done to cause this suffering and death upon him. If I can show compassion and love for so good a God, for doing things for us that we would never have even thought for him to do, if I can at least acknowledge all these things and admit them in my own part in life, that very compassion is going to start to change me. It's going to change my heart, hardened by so many things in the world today, the world and its circumstances, which is not part of and parcel with the service of God. Bad habits that I may have encountered in my own life that I keep making excuses for and why I'm going to hold on to them. But rather reflecting now upon the passion, the suffering of Jesus, seeing just how much he was ready to endure for love of all men, but also for love of me, it can and it does and it will bring changes. If not just to say, dear God, I am sorry for all that I have caused you to suffer. What can I do in my life now to prove to you that I love you for all these things, and from this point on, I will not be a source of suffering to you again? This is what Passiontide is all about. That's what this whole period of time in Passiontide is set before us to do. That we can take the time day by day now, this week, Passion Week, and especially next week, Holy Week, to reflect upon the sufferings of Jesus Christ and really make an effort at doing that. So often we make excuses. I'm too busy at work. I'm too busy at school. I have all these things to do at home. I can't think and concentrate all that time. And yet we can sing songs in our head and make plans of what we're going to do at the end of the day. Those things can occupy our thoughts all through the day, and that's okay. But when it comes to a spiritual point, especially this spiritual point, of thinking more and more about the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and the more I think upon them and pray upon them, the change that will come to my life, it is possible to do that. It is possible to occupy my time during these next 2 weeks thinking about these things, if only I put the effort into it. This is where it's show to it. It's up to me. If I don't want to help to make these changes in my life, it's got to come here. I have to be the one that is going to start these changes and make them come into effect. But how can we do that? You know, people say, gosh, like I said, Father, I'm so busy. I have all these things to do in work and school. I'm sick here. I've got all these contradictions that are happening. This has been a bad Lent for me. So many things have gone wrong and whatever. Instead of slowing down from that, uniting your hearts and souls with Almighty God and the sufferings of Jesus Christ, all we unite with is our own sufferings and our own excuses that come up in that way. There are points set before us, very simple devotional practices that are present for everyone. And at some particular point, we've all practiced them, that can help us make a good Passiontide these next 2 weeks to reflect upon better the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, that through that suffering, that reflection rather, it will make changes in our life, will make something different. It will say, I'm going to stop being the selfish individual that I am. I'm going to stop exercising my point of pride. I'm going to overcome my anger, overcome my temptations against purity and yielding to them, and so forth. So many different things. I'm going to stop them because Jesus died and suffered for me, for everyone. I'm going to stop them because if I say I love Jesus Christ, how can I say I love him and continue to offend? In the Gaudens for April, I suggest one of these spiritual practices that are there for meditation. Meditation particularly on the sufferings of Jesus, using the book, The Imitation of Christ. In the book of The Imitation of Christ, there are several chapters within there that help us to reflect upon the sufferings of Jesus Christ, to find great fruit in that suffering, fruit for meditation, and through that meditation gain graces, the graces I need to be strong for the amendment of life, to make my change, to be holy as God wants me to be, no matter what my circumstances of life might be. Meditation will help that. And if only I practice it and start practicing it faithfully, then I can see just how valuable the spiritual exercise truly is. Another one of the spiritual exercises that is always set before us is the five sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. If we pray the rosary as we should, we don't just mumble words, we don't just say a bunch of prayers with our mind distracted and thinking of so many other things. As each mystery is proposed to us, we're supposed to reflect upon the things of that mystery. If we've read the gospel stories or read any life of Jesus Christ, then we can understand, our mind can come progressively through the various mysteries of the rosary. We can reflect upon them. We can meditate upon them, draw fruit from them. And in that fruit, most especially, will be that change of life that we need to make. There is nothing wrong with praying the five sorrowful mysteries each day during this entire period of Passiontide and Holy Week, for the Passion Week rather, and Holy Week. There's nothing wrong in doing that if it helps us to reflect upon this point that the church wants us to do this next 2 weeks, to think about the sufferings of our Savior for you and for me. There's one other good spiritual work, spiritual benefit that comes to us if we will put it into practice, and it's the recitation of the Stations of the Cross. Of all these spiritual practices that I said are set before us, they really are quite easy for us to do. I think this is the one that is most neglected by most Catholics. Well, maybe they'll come on some Friday during Lent. Maybe on occasion something will inspire them to come say the Stations of the Cross. But few there are who faithfully recite this important devotional aspect. And that's, I'm sorry for them. Because if you make the Stations of the Cross, you find out one of the most single best opportunities we have to reflect upon the sufferings of Jesus for us, to keep alive within our heart and soul what it is that Jesus suffered, progressively going from his being condemned to death, the several falls that he has, the tough times, the way in which the Pharisees move him along and make sure that he is feeling the hurt and pain, right down to his humiliations on Calvary, putting to death and then being buried. These 14 opportunities to pause and to reflect upon the sufferings of Jesus Christ, like I said, there is no other single greatest opportunity for us to grow in a compassion and love for Jesus than by making the Stations of the Cross, making them reflectively and lovingly in any way that we do. Again, I know, you know, I hear, you know, from people, Father, I don't have time. I don't have time for meditation. Making the Stations of the Cross, I want to. I haven't done it for years. I want to, just don't have time. If you don't have time to do the things important for soul, make an honest assessment of your life right now. What are you making time for right now that is really not absolutely necessary, but you're doing to occupy your time because what you want to do? It's more fun. It keeps you occupied in some other in certain ways. Time you will definitely carve into your life to make sure that that's done. But if it comes to the spiritual exercises, the things that will best serve you and aid you in devotion and love, compassion for Jesus Christ, showing how he loves you and you can love him, how can we not make time for that? Why do we always make excuses for it all the step of the way? We do. I mean, if we admit it, we do. We make excuses for these things in our spiritual lives, and they truly are excuses. And this time of Passiontide, let it be the time that we stop these excuses. Let's learn to engage the imagination and then the heart on these afflicting scenes of our Lord's passion and death that we see in these devotional aspects. There is no better meditation on the love of Jesus Christ for men than on his by meditating on his passion and suffering. Every sin of man that Christ expiated, we see that all the sufferings of Jesus, he did fulfill this expiation to overcome them, because there is no sin that is not without some unique method of suffering that Jesus went through. Every sin had to be atoned for. And if it's a different type of a sin, there's going to be that much of a different way, if you will, of making atonement for it. And that's what Jesus does here. There's no greater story of love than to think upon the passion and suffering of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffers and dies so that we can live and rejoice. Can we not then turn to him some measure of compassion, some measure of love, something that will truly bring a change to my life instead of being the way I have been going that has brought spiritual failure and even ruin to my life in so many different ways? Now, this is what's set before me. This is the things that is set before me here on this Passion Tide. To use these graces, use this time to reflect upon the passion and suffering of Jesus Christ. It is a source of great grace, a source of great strength, a source even of great peace of soul, because we know that the promise of Jesus that is found in the scriptures, that even though your sins be as red as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. If I show love for him, I show a sorrow for them. By the graces he has gained in the sacrament of penance, I can have these sins taken away. And my gratitude back toward God is, not to play the game, the revolving door with sin. That if God has shown to me such great mercy this one time, I at least can prove I love him by ceasing to sin now. And no more going back to the life of selfishness that I've given into. So many graces can come to you and I through this suffering, this reflection rather, on the passion and death of Jesus Christ. It's up to us to use these graces well. Let's pray for that help that we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.